But today, later on in the show, senior running back Stephen Watts will join us. But right now, as always, we have head coach John Hebert with us. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
All right, Coach, like I just said, the team is on a 6-game winning streak moving into the playoffs. How important is that momentum as you move into the elimination rounds?
Well, we've been fortunate that we've been able to focus on each game that we've had because we've played some really tough opponents, and that's our mindset, that each week you have a new challenge and you've got to give it your best and really try to pull together and put all of your attention toward that one task that's right in front of you, that one opponent. And that's kind of a training ground and a set of learning experiences for what ultimately matters, which is the playoffs, where we are now and what we've been trying to do all season. And I feel like we've got a really mature team and a lot of guys that just understand that preparing the right way and having our mindset narrowed down to what we have this particular week is important to them, and I hope that we get off to a great start here, get a victory tomorrow night.
Michael Victrup, unbelievable performance last Friday against Lawrence Central. Since sets a single game passing record with 381 yards. He had touchdown passes to Ethan Merriweather for 65 and 75 yards, and one for 90 yards to Marcus Perkins. Why do you think he was able to connect with his receivers for big yardages?
Well, if you look at where the ball was caught on many of those passes, the pass might have been somewhere around 15 to 20 yards in distance. And, I think it was a combination of a good play call based on the coverage that Lawrence Central was in, and then a nice job by receivers of catching that ball and finding a way to break free from the secondary. So I know Marcus Perkins showed a little bit more speed than I think our opponents probably would have given him credit for, but hard to argue with it now. And then Ethan Merriweather got behind a corner on a nice play-action fake, and there was just no stopping him there. So, the other touchdown that Ethan had was across the field run, and we got a nice block from Kurt Raftall there, and that kind of sprung him down the sideline for that score. So, there are games where Michael throws that ball quite a bit of distance there, and it's usually Jalen Walker that's running underneath it and making a spectacular catch. But I think Friday night was really a combination of, again, being prepared and knowing what we were going to see from our opponent, and then guys just being in a position to capitalize when they had the opportunity to.
And sticking on the topic of, like we talked about Michael Victrup, we've seen him not be as mobile as we saw him earlier in the season after he sustained that injury. Why do you think he's doing that? Is it because of the injury, or is that just more of a game plan type strategy to keep him in the pocket much more and getting the ball downfield?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. Michael, throughout his career, throughout his athletic career, has just been such a superb playmaker, and he can run and make people miss, and such a large number of plays have been made on his behalf. With the open field runs that he has, and I think that we've challenged Michael to not resort to that when it's not needed. He's very smart. He has a great deal of poise, and he can throw the ball really well. So, we're trying to develop an offense where we find the open receiver, and that way you end up seeing some of those breakout passes and catches and, real key momentum changers. So if you look at the two games after the Pike game where, Michael's hamstring was receiving a lot of treatment and he didn't feel 100% to run, Michael had a really high passing percentage. I would say probably, over 80%. In those two games and a great number of yards, and our offense functioned at a high level because of it.
Michael truly has been spectacular this year, and you've had a lot of spectacular moments throughout the year. The team has. So throughout the regular season, in your first year as head coach of the Carmel Greyhounds, what was your favorite moment?
I'm probably going to have to revisit that one in December or January when I've had some time to reflect. I'm in the mindset of enjoying the moments. I definitely just love being out there and being with the players and the fellow coaches and preparing together and facing obstacles. And, you know, it's just, it's everything that athletics is meant to be, and couldn't be doing it with a better group of people. And I'm definitely benefiting from all of that, you know, interaction by all the people involved. But, you know, I would just have to say that, you know, we go to work every day and we practice. We try to be as efficient and focused and energized as we can. And so I'm just really proud of the effort and the leadership of our senior class. So many guys that it just matters so much too. So, you know, we're going to keep working and you know, try to produce more of those moments. And then when it's all over, we'll just sit back and reflect on them.
Focusing toward tomorrow's game against the Noblesville Millers, first round of sectionals. These guys come in with a 3-6 record. They've played tough with teams like Lawrence North and Hamilton Southeastern. So they're a little bit underrated. How have you guys been preparing this week to face on the Millers in the first week of sectionals?
Well, we played them last year, so we have the game tape there that we can go back and just see what they tried to do to us and what worked for us against them. And, you know, so you get a little bit of an insight into, you know, maybe what they see as well. You know, we're going to prepare for every game the same way. And so, you know, you go into a MIC contest or a sectional contest the exact same way. I'm, you know, and it's not me that invented this, but it's been a part of the process that has helped us be successful over, you know, a good number of years. That if you start inventing new ways or you know, bigger ways to prepare in some weeks than others, then you know, you're liable to not be consistent in how you come out and play. So Noblesville is a team that is capable of being successful. We're looking at what some other teams have done to them that have limited them. They did lose their quarterback 2 weeks ago, and their replacement is a junior, and he's a good player, and he seems to be getting better with more opportunities. So we've got to be mindful of you know, the kind of progress that he's going to be able to make. They have a very good running back who would do very well, I think, in the MIC. He's that type of a runner, and he's the feature back for them. And their defense has had times where they've really limited offenses from doing the kinds of things that they want to do. So we're going to need to be able to run the ball and be able to take what the defense has given us. So, you know, just like any other game, we've got to be prepared to play all three phases to the best of our ability and take advantage of opportunities. You know, you look at Lawrence Central's record, for instance, and they're 3-6 themselves. And, you know, that was a very tough game that, you know, the outcome of the game hinged on, you know, a turn of events in the fourth quarter. So, you know, Pike is another team that you know, is not on the winning side of the column overall, and you know, we narrowly pulled that game out and won 38-33. So you get too consumed thinking about another team's record or whether another team is you know, a great team or not, and you overlook yourselves and you overlook the things that should be focused on, which is just being as prepared and as focused as you can be.
Now, we saw last season the Greyhounds in the regular season go 9-0, and coming into the playoffs, the whole mentality was try to go undefeated for their year. They taking it one game at a time. It was said a lot, but it really didn't seem like that. So this year, coming in, having lost two games throughout the regular season, what's the mindset going into that, knowing you've lost two games going into this postseason?
Well, going into the postseason, we're 0-0. That's our mindset. That you know, what's happened in the past is you know, it certainly has contributed to where we are, but it is not relevant in the sense that we get no credit for what our record is. You know, I don't think Noblesville cares. I don't think anybody in our sectional does. And it's not going to have an influence on the outcome of any contest going forward. You know, with that all being said, I think there is a benefit in losing a game, especially when you can learn a great deal from it. And the two losses that we had early on, we lost to great teams, and we went back and watched the film and learned a little bit as to why we lost those games. And some of it was due to just how good our opponents were, and others we made mistakes. And I like to think that we corrected a good deal of those mistakes and made progress toward becoming a more complete team. Sometimes when you win games, you pull out a game and you win it in a close score, or you know, you make some plays at the end and you feel pretty good, and you might not have the sense of urgency needed to really overcome some of your shortcomings, and every team has them. So I think, I'm trying not to read too much into where we are in terms of a winning streak, or, you know, it's more about how we come to work every day and how close our team is and how much they care about each other and how much we're all really determined to go out and be the best that we can be and not take these opportunities for granted.
And you said every team is 0-0 going into sectionals, and that's what makes the intensity so high, and rivalries come out and rivalries are showcased in sectionals. And we asked Dwayne Allen a similar question. We were able to interview Colts tight end Dwayne Allen about a week ago or a couple weeks ago, and I asked him what their practices were like leading up to the Patriots game. And I know you say it's you're preparing like it's any other game, but the intensity has to be a little bit higher leading up to these sectionals in practice.
We're trying to maintain and elevate our intensity. I think early on in the season, we felt like we needed a lot of improvement in that area, and we made some changes into how we practice. And I think most guys on the team and coaches would agree that there was a big payoff there in terms of how ready we were at the start of the game to initiate things rather than play the wait and see approach. And so, you got to prove it every game. You could go out and that won't be the case, and then you wonder where you are exactly. But I think we've got a pretty good formula. Our guys have responded well to challenges, and we've not spent a great deal of time trying to convince them of how important this game is or this stage is. I think you can. There's a feeling that you can get when you look into the eyes of your team as to whether they understand that or not, whether they, you know, really are thinking the right types of thoughts. And I just, it's my impression that our team, being a mature team, realizes how much is at stake.
Last week, we saw some players go down. We saw Fleck got a concussion, and Jack Lorson also had an ankle injury. How are you replacing those roles?
Well, that's tough. And we did have a lot of injuries in the second half against Lawrence Central. There was one point in the game where all four of our starting linebackers were out of the game. And, replacements were out there, back to that point about the turning point and the outcome of the game hinging on that fourth quarter. And some guys that hadn't typically been on the field were able to play a really significant role in securing the victory. So I think in that regard, we improved as a team because contributions were being made by some people that just hadn't been out there before. And anytime that happens, that's a great thing. The WRTV had done a piece on our offensive line and the versatility of several guys and playing different roles. And, when Jack Lorson's one of those constant pieces, every step of the way, and then he's not there, that really tests that idea. But we have Harley Fry as basically a starter in almost every game, and Simon Pachars, who's been dealing with injuries of his own across the way, and junior Mark Stickford, who is a very talented, athletic, smart player who's very capable of leading the offense to being successful in the run game and passing game. And, as in terms of linebackers, we've got we've really been playing five linebackers for four spots. And sophomore Jack Van Remortel is both an inside and an outside linebacker, and he's played extensive minutes at both. So, in the absence of Justin Fleck, Jack Van Remortel will just focus on the inside linebacker role. And then fortunate for us, Aaron Surface stepped in at outside linebacker. He played 18 plays, and according to our rubric, he had 16 successful plays out of those 18, and really did his job and hung in there tough. And when you find a guy, and we knew that Aaron could do that. There's no question that he's that kind of a guy, a senior that this means the world to him, and the team matters so much to him. So, you've got a guy like Aaron Surface who, he's been working for years for this opportunity. And Andrew Peters is another one, an inside linebacker who has put a lot of work in the weight room and time and in understanding what his job is. So, and we've got some younger guys too, who really are ready for an opportunity to prove themselves. So it's exciting to see when people meet those opportunities ready to succeed, and we feel like we've got a bunch of them.
Now, you said a second ago you were talking about Jack Van Remortel along with some of the younger guys on the team. We saw last year Van Remortel as a freshman playing in the state championship game. What are some standout freshmen? Because we know there are some that are now practicing with the varsity squad. Who are some standout freshmen that can help you down the road throughout the rest of the season?
Well, the freshman team finished 5-3, but I think they're a really special group. And you look at the losses that they had. Two of them were to Warren Central. They played Warren Central twice, and lost the season ender to Lawrence Central. But we have pulled up 35 freshmen to practice with the upperclassmen, and we went from the viewpoint that we were taking units that would remain intact. So we have the starting offense, the starting defense, and then a handful of other guys that rotated and played significant time with the starting unit. So, and a few guys here and there that have shown a lot of promise and have a lot of potential. So we really believe that all 35 of those guys are going to make a great class. And there are many others that you can just tell that we didn't pull up that have a great deal of potential as well and are also going to be great contributors. So we have that core of 35 guys that are working hard. And then, out of those 35, there are a handful that could be varsity ready right now. And, they're guys that they've just developed a little bit sooner than other guys. And, before the other guys have caught up. But, we've been doing this for a while, and there always seems to be a handful that fit that profile. But, Bo Robbins on defense and Joey Schmidt and Matt Boyer, those three guys are all linebackers. They're all very athletic and intelligent and instinctual players. And then Kamari Hunt is Cameron Hunt's little brother, running back, great deal of talent, and just a great football player overall, and really, the offensive line for the freshman team I'm finding to be very good, and they're getting to go against our number one defense, and so we're watching them progress, rapidly right before our eyes, as is the entire freshman defense, and some playmakers, on the offensive side at the skill positions, receivers, several receivers that are very good, a couple of very good tight ends that are physical and can make plays. So, and we like our quarterback at the freshman level, Tyler Trent too. He's really probably improved more than any single individual at the freshman level.
Tomorrow's the day, ladies and gentlemen, sectional football. Make sure to tune in to WHJE at 6 to hear pregame and the broadcast. Sam Brady and I will be doing that at 7 o'clock. It'll be exciting. Hounds take on Noblesville. Hopefully they can win that one and move on. And thanks again for joining us, Coach Hebert. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Go Hounds.
All right, you're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We'll be back with Stephen Watts on 91.3 WHJE.